Hey, we're on a series of lessons. We've been on this thing since the beginning of the year as we started talking about prayer and fasting called Devoted. And we're just going to continue again today. We're going to kind of come back and circle back to how we started this week and next week. I believe we're going to finish up, finalize this next week. We're going to talk again, hit on the subject of prayer, hit on the subject of seeking God, hit on the subject of waiting before God. And I don't know about you, but I'm just not, in my DNA, I'm not a real good waiter. I'm not a real good wait. I'm like, let's make something happen. I'm like, if you can get from here to there, you know, and you can get there from here to there in a minute, why take 2 minutes? If you can go from here to Vegas and you might be able to slip in about 95 miles an hour in some of that stress, why go 65? When you got Google Maps and they tell you where the police are. I'm kidding. Sorry for all the Jasons. We've got some police folk in the room and I'm going to be, if I'm arrested after church, you know what's happening, everybody. Come see me in jail, will you? Come see me in jail. But we talked about prayer, we talked about fasting, then we kind of talked about sanctification and dedication and separation and a life of just devotion to God. We talked last week about a life of obedience, that you can actually think that you're obeying like King Saul and you're not obeying God at all. And we found out that obedience, that disobedience is just stubbornness and really rebellion in our hearts. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to be fully devoted to Him, His word, His will, His counsel, His precepts, to the kingdom life that He's brought into our lives and to one another. God wants us to be devoted. A couple scriptures we've talked about, or one particular, then we'll look at a new one this morning. But look with me on the screen at Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The writers, this is the disciples, when the early church was booming and it was growing. Jesus has already gone back to heaven, poured out His Spirit. People are getting saved. Church is growing, increasing. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of needs going on. And the disciples said, we will continue to devote ourselves. We will continue to devote ourselves. Notice this, steadfastly. That seems pretty persistent. Steadfastly to doing what? To prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. And unless you should say that, well, I'm not an apostle, I'm not like one of Jesus' 12, and I'm not out planting churches, and I'm not a missionary on a foreign soil, this seems like this is kind of a word for them. Well, it is, but it's not. Meaning this, every one of us needs to be busy about kingdom work and kingdom expansion, and that's going to, the foundation of that for your life and my life is going to be the Word of God, the solid foundation of the Word of God, and a life built on prayer. So I would encourage you to don't discount yourself, but to read yourself in the text here that says, I'm going to be the person that continues to be devoted and devote myself steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Because listen to me, let's be real. Like when we talked a moment ago about even exercise and doing some things like that, the minute you let yourself off the hook, you're off the hook. The minute you give yourself an inch, you're going to take a mile. The minute the cracks in the door swings wide open more and more. You're that way, I'm that way. We as humans are that way. So God says, I've got a remedy for your life. Here's the remedy. Here's the remedy. Devote yourself. Devote yourself steadfastly. The gym analogy, the Bible analogy, the prayer analogy, the walking in love analogy. You get it. You do great sometimes, and sometimes it's a struggle for you exercise dudes. You get up and you put on your shoes and you're going to go run 3 miles and you get a tick in your knee and you go, I could only run one, but you ran one. And you go to the gym and you think, I used to hump it up, I used to pump it up a little bit more, and it's not there right now, but at least you're out there doing it. Listen to me, this is what we do every day. We show up with God. We show up with the Word. We show up to pray. We show up to spend time with Him because we know it will produce great dividends in our lives. Come on, everybody, can you clap your hands, all you people? So steadfastly. That would be an operative word. Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself. Devote yourself. Be all in with prayer. Be all in. Being watchful, being alert, and being thankful in the middle of it all. How are you doing there with devoting yourself to prayer. There's a story of a guy named Viktor Frankl who survived a concentration camp in World War II. And the book, he goes on in this great book and he outlines and he talks in length analyzing the people who would survive the concentration camps and the people who would not survive the concentration camps. And what he found was that the optimistic would often die because they set a time frame when they thought they should be released. They'll release us before Christmas, and Christmas came and went, and it didn't happen. And he would see them slowly start shriveling because of what he called false optimism. What I want to drive into your life today is that the thought of being devoted only for a certain period of time. I'll devote God in 10 days of prayer and fasting, but then I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll work out my salvation. Listen, I'm going to party. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to bump around. I'm going to whatever. I'm going to do all my thing while I'm young. And then, you know, when I get older and I get married, then all that stuff will, you might ruin your life before you get married. I'm encouraging you, don't set a date with seeking God. Don't set a date for the prayers that you've been praying and maybe they haven't happened yet. I'm encouraging you once again to devote yourself steadfastly to prayer and seeking God. This date setting, Viktor Frankl said, triggered unmet expectations, which then triggered extreme hopelessness. We've been praying a scripture from the book of Hosea. I'll remind you again today, Hosea 10:12. It says this, "Sow righteousness for yourself. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. Break up your fallow ground," talking about your heart. Don't let your heart be hard, because a hard heart can't receive the seed, won't ever produce anything. So break up the fallow ground, the unplowed ground of your heart. He said, "For it's time to seek the Lord." It's time to seek the Lord. Until he comes, that's the phrase, until he comes and he showers righteousness for you. Oh, how long do you seek the Lord concerning your marriage? Until he comes and there's change. How long do you seek the Lord with that situation with your kids? Until he comes and there's change. How long do you seek the Lord until that play, that thing in your head changes? Until he comes and you get victory over that. Come on, everybody. We seek the Lord. We pray. We press in. Until. Whether you like RFK Jr. or not, you gotta like a brother who's 70 and looks ripped. Come on, somebody. Who his whole life has been about eating right and exercising and whatever. You might not like his policies, and that's neither here nor there. But somebody who just says, you know, I believe I'm going to take care of myself. And in his 70s already now, he's still looking good. You know, that's external. But I want to be the guy that not only physically, but I want to be the person spiritually. I want to be the person emotionally. I want to be the person soulishly. I believe you do too. That we'll be able to look at our lives and we're not getting older and crankier and negative and angry and bitter and talking down to the next generation. But we're just celebrating them. We're enjoying them. We're believing God. We're champion Gen Z. Come on. We're champion millennials. Come on. We're champion Alpha, whoever the Alphas are now. Come on. Alphas are like under, I don't know what they are. Come on. That y'all know what I'm talking about? No, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, you guys need to get out more. Man, come on. We pray, we watch, we seek. Until he comes. Our lifestyle. This is our lifestyle. Seeking. Waiting. Watching. Looking. Expecting. Desiring. How you doing with that during your prayer time? Look on the screen. Waiting forms you into the kind of person that can be trusted with the fruit of what you're waiting for. So while you're waiting, God uses it to form you on the inside. So when the answer comes, you don't say, thank you, I'll see you in 5 years, that it's forming you and a desire in you to want it more and more. We're talking to someone, Leo, who played bass for us this morning and sang, and he's helped us a lot here. Leo's a great guy. We were talking to him this morning. I don't know, Kimberly was back in the back and thought that he had a donut. And so she said, do you have a donut? He said, no, but he said, I love donuts. And so he was talking about Yum Yum Donuts and a place on Coronado over here that's just great for Yum Yum Donuts. And then Kimberly started talking about, have you been to Santee? Have you been to Mary's Donuts? Anybody been to Mary's? Listen to me, don't go. Don't go. Listen to me, don't go. Don't go. I'm just telling you, hear me with the right spirit. They put crack in those donuts. Let me tell you what. It's addictive. Before the Lord helped me get free, I'm telling you, before the Lord helped me, I would drive 30 minutes to go. Oh, yeah, what? I'm driving to Santee for an apple fritter. Don't go. Don't go. That after you taste it, what happens with certain food? You want some more. That's why the scripture says, if you know it, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, somebody, taste and see. Get your taste buds connected. Listen to me. Get your taste buds off of what you're eating if it's not producing what you want in your life. And get your taste buds going, I'm going to start hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Come on, I'm gonna start developing my life, reading the word and praying, because Lord, you're good to me. I want to get my taste on what you want in my life, so my lifestyle starts seeking, wanting, looking, leaning, and searching for you in the word of God every day. Can I get an amen? Amen. I believe this with all my heart. What God's doing right now is that he is building people that are more aware of his presence than anything else in our life. I believe it. This is what he's doing right now. This is what he's doing in the church right now. If you can't, come on, if you can't sense it, let me help you right now. The temperature at Spectrum is going up. Come on, everybody, it's going up. And God's desiring all of us more and more to press in, to see more and more of him working in you and through you and for you, for your family out here in the community. This is what God wants. I said this, guys, forgive me. Look back at this slide real quick. That God is endeavoring to get our hearts. God is endeavoring to get our hearts desperate enough, our vision high enough, and our hunger deep enough to continually seek him. So what's God do when we read the word? What happens when we get around to some hot people, prayer people, word people? All of a sudden you start going either like, probably the first reaction if you're new is like, y'all a bunch of weirdos. Let's be real, a bunch of weirdos. Man, you like love God, love word, that's all you talk about. Don't you do anything else? No, we do all kind of stuff, but we just keep first things first. But God is endeavoring to get our hearts desperate enough. How desperate are you for God right now? Where you say, I need God up in here. Desperate enough to shut off Netflix, desperate enough to not watch sports, desperate enough to quit shopping at Macy's, desperate enough to just say, I'm going to get up 5, 10, 20 minutes early and stay up 5, 10, 20 minutes late, desperate enough to read the Bible through in a year. Come on, desperate enough to go to a small group, desperate enough to say, I'm going to serve God, desperate enough to say, here's my wallet, you can have whatever you want. How desperate are you? I've never been to prison. We've got some guys in the room, and probably some gals that have. And I was watching a show one time, and they talked about guys in prison that would don't anybody say amen, because you know, but would make alcohol out of in the water in the toilet, and would use it and be able to make some type of alcoholic beverage. How, I don't know, but that's a whole nother level of commitment. That's a whole nother level of desperation. That's a whole nother level of wanting something bad enough that nothing's going to stop me from making it and doing it. And we know that addicts have struggled with this, that will not make rational decisions. What I'm asking you to do is, will you start making irrational decisions to your flesh, but are very rational to the Spirit of God? And you're going to start seeing God work in your life in a brand new way. Listen to me. God is building our capacity because he's coming. He's waiting. He's coming for a glorious church. Ephesians 5 says, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So when we're pressing in with God, when you've got your Bible open in the morning and there's just you and him, and it seems like sometimes you're listening, you're learning, you're seeking, and it seems like there's nothing going on. Can I tell you, something's going on? Show up every day, come every day, learn every day, listen every day. God's seeing what you're doing, and the Bible tells us that he is going to reward you. Listen, we wait in hope. We wait in hope and faith, and when we wait in hope and faith, God is building us. That's what he's doing. We're being spiritually formed into more and more Christ-likeness. I know you're alive. You've got the Spirit of God and your spirit on the inside, but we're talking about getting the Spirit of God and Christ-likeness in my mind and in my flesh. Listen, waiting is not designed to break us. Waiting is designed to make us. This isn't some kind of, I think we think, you know, like you know, Pastor Gary, you know, you say pray 5 minutes and I start to pray, and I look down and it seems like it's an hour and it's 57 seconds. Anybody ever been there? Listen, we need to continually build our prayer, waiting, seeking, desiring spiritual muscle. Luke 22, Garden of Gethsemane, a couple of verses. Jesus is there, you know, this is before the crucifixion, this is before the scourging, this is before the beating. He's there, he's got his 12 with him, was really his 11. Judas is getting ready to trip him out, sell him out. Jews is with the Roman guys and the Pharisees and Sadducees getting ready to come to the garden. He's got his 11, and then he tells Peter, James, and John, hey, y'all come with me a little further. Come on, get a little closer. I don't know about you, but I want to be that person that Jesus is saying, Gary, I want you to come with me a little closer. How about you? I want to tell you something. I want you to be a part of something that maybe the others just aren't ready for or aren't hungry enough for. That's on you. That's on me. I can be that kind of person, and you can too. John Wesley, I think it's John Wesley, maybe not, but his wife, she had like 10, 11 kids, like kids. Come on, like no contraception every time. Come on, kids. And he was a praying man. And you know what she would do? She would take her kids. She was at home with the kids all day. She had an apron on. And she would take her apron and she would throw it over her head in the kitchen. Or sitting at the table and say, kids, I'm getting ready to have a meeting with God right now. Leave me alone. And she'd take her apron and just start praying and seeking God. Would to God there's some women with some aprons on their heads. Maybe you're a woman and you say, I wish my husband would have an apron on his head. Well, that's why you need to come to prayer on Wednesday night for the ladies so your husband has an apron on it. Anyway, okay. Luke 22, Jesus arose from prayer. So he's praying. He's called those brothers with him. And he arose from prayer and came to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. This is a trippy scripture, guys. Because temptation is always at your door. Temptation is waiting for you constantly and me constantly. But Jesus tells me and tells you, I hope you're hearing it this morning, there's a way out of every temptation. The way out of every temptation before it comes is a lifestyle of seeking God that rises and prays before God and positions yourself to be able to be alert to the temptation that comes so that you can overcome any temptation. One translation says, Jesus says, just stay awake with me. Stay awake with me. Maybe that's a word for you today. Maybe you've been dumbed and numbed down by society, by work, by family, by doing whatever's going on in the world. You need to hear this today. Stay awake with me. Stay awake with me. What's alarming to me is that the God of the universe came in human form. Jesus, we know him. He's fully man, fully God. It's something that we can't quite understand how this happened, but it is true. But yet at this point of need, at this point of crazy, what's going to happen in the next few hours, going to the cross, the scourging, the sin of the world laid on him. He's asking some guys with him, just stay awake with me. I need you fully engaged in this battle with me. Do you have anybody you can call like that? Or somehow you think you're a man, macho guy, or you're a woman, and you can't be honest and be real and be vulnerable, saying, I'm in the middle of some crazy stuff right now, and I'm asking you to, let's get together and pray. Let's get together and pray. I don't need a beer. I don't need to sip some bourbon. I don't need a tequila. I don't need a joint. I don't need a puff. I don't need a shot. I don't need nothing. I don't need that. What I need you to do is, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Someone said this. I thought this was interesting. Listen to this. Someone wrote about this part of the scripture. By this point of the evening, the disciples were wired. Their nerves were racing. They were anticipating something awful. Didn't quite know everything happening, but they were anticipating it based on what Jesus was and the look on his face. And the text says that they fell asleep. Did you hear it? From sorrow. They fell asleep from sorrow. Here's what the author said. They were so wrecked by anxiety and grief that they collapsed. That's why they were sleeping. That's what Jesus was encouraging them to fight off. That's what they couldn't overcome. They couldn't overcome the sorrow. I think this is America right now. I think this is the Christian church right now. Asleep at the wheel, not paying attention, unfocused, not alert. So full of sorrows, so full of anxiety over life and money and government and COVID and whatever's going on, sexuality, whatever's going on, and overcome that it brings sorrow in your life to the point that you don't even stay awake and watch. If you let your mind race without controlling renegade thoughts or let anxiety have its way in you, your life will mirror the scenario with Jesus and his disciples. You have to learn how to watch. You have to learn how to wait. You have to learn how to seek. You have to learn how to be with God and resist every temptation to allow the sorrow of the world to drive you from a place of seeking God and prayer and the authority of the Word of God. And one more time. If Jesus wanted and Jesus needed and Jesus desired these to be with him when he was entering a time of immense pain and struggle, what are you going to do when you're going through a time of immense pain and struggle? Are there people you can call, the people on your speed dial right now that'll leave everything and come pray for you? I remember a time when we were in Canada, going through just a tough time situation in our church in Canada. And I had two guys that are still lifelong friends. One's in outside and lives on the island, Vancouver Island, a ministry all around the Canada, phenomenal guy. And then another lifelong friend, a board member. We've been friends for, 30 years, him and his wife, and we love them dearly. We call every week, talk to each other every week, text every Sunday morning, texting me, praying for you. I pray for him every Sunday morning. And we were together. We just happened sovereignly to be together when all hell was breaking loose with some people's lives in our church. And these guys just held me. These guys prayed with me. I've never seen how just being around the right people at the right time can just put steel in your heart. Come on, everybody. And you got to be careful because you can get around the wrong people and they put sand in your heart where there's no substance. I can't stand with that. So let me encourage you. Do you have the people around you that you can call to pray, help you in prayer? And are you that person for somebody else? This is what God's wanting. This is what God's building in all of us. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter's in prison, but check it out. Let me give you some different words, some different translations here that bring out this point. Peter is kept in prison. It's all hell breaking loose. They're getting ready to kill this brother. He's kept in prison, but notice this: constant prayer, earnest prayer, consistent prayer, fervent prayer, strenuous prayer, intense prayer was offered to God for him by the church. This is the will of God. Constant, intense, fervent, not going to quit. We're going to keep seeking, going to keep searching, going to keep asking, going to keep believing God. Listen, he says, we just read it a moment ago, could you not watch? Could you not watch? If you're not cautious, it tells us in the original language there, that word watch. If you're not cautious, something could come upon you and overtake you. So be vigilant, stay awake, not only physically, but stay awake spiritually. What's going on, Lord? I'm sensing something. Listen, if you're sensing something, pray about something. Pray about something. Ephesians 5, 14. This is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will give you life. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Keep awake. Keep awake. This is what we do when we watch. We're saying, I'm awake. Come on, in the morning, you're a little sleepy in your eyes, a little tired, but you're showing up again. Stay awake. Stay awake and pray for your family. Stay awake and pray for yourself. Stay awake and pray for the will of God. Stay awake and pray for the church. Stay awake and pray for the next generation. They need you. We need that, everybody. Paul told the Romans, wake up. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We don't want to be like Samson on the lap of Delilah, falling asleep, not realizing, crazy chicks cutting my hair. Trying to keep me from my divine inheritance, trying to keep me from pursuing the enemy. Yet I'm on the lap of some chick who was out to get me. I'm hanging around some loser friends. I got some stupid stuff I'm doing that's out to harm me. It's in my lap right now. I'm on it right now. God's warning for all of us is break free from that, lest you wake up one day with no hair and no eyes like Samson. And God in his mercy, thank God's merciful. Brother killed more people in his death than he did his life. That's the mercy of God. I don't want to rely on the mercy of God. I want to rely on the power of God while I'm alive, everybody. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. But listen to me. Your prayers matter. What you do in obedience matters. So let me rid you. We've said this before, I think many months ago, is that watching in prayer isn't performance-based. How good did I do? How good did I do? That's not what it is. It's like a child coming to the parent, you know, and talking, you know, as a young child and growing. You're growing. You're learning vocabulary. I'm just glad you're here. I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. Watching in prayer is about active attention. Am I listening? Am I learning? Am I leaning on God? I want to hear you. I want to obey you more. So this is the foundation in my life where I'm going to be able to do that, is in this alone time with you, with the word and in prayer by the Spirit of God. Matthew 6, Jesus, when you pray, go to your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they'll be heard by many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need of before you ask him. Three things I think that's important. Three things from what the text told us. The first thing Jesus mentions about prayer is your where. Is your where. Go to your room. That's your where. You have to have a place that you frequent. Where's your place? Come on, where's your place? I don't have a place. This is your job this week. Have a place that's with you and God. Where's your place? It's in my car from 7 to 7:20 in the morning. It's on the couch from 5 o'clock till 5:30 in the morning. It's in the bedroom before my husband comes up from 9:15 to 9:45 at night. You gotta have a place. Gotta have a place. I'm encouraged. It's gotta be a place you enjoy. This isn't hell. This isn't a jail. You don't gotta go, I'm going to prayer. I hate it. No, you gotta like it. So listen, if you don't like it, change it up. Walk and pray. Drive and pray. You can't watch a movie and pray. Come on, everybody. Get along with God. Make it real. Make it eventful. The second thing Jesus said is shut your door. Go to your room, shut your door. Shut your door. Get alone. Get alone. If you can't learn to pray alone, you're never going to have an effective prayer life. Get alone. Get alone with God. Well, you know, no, get alone. That's what he said. And the third thing that Jesus said is pray. Go to your room, find a place, find a time, shut the door, get alone, and pray. Talk, but listen more. Talk, but listen better. And remember who you're talking to. You're talking to God. And God says, I'm ready to be with you. Amazing. Have you found your prayer rhythm? You found your rhythm? Found where you pray? Found when you pray? Listen, have you got a prayer rhythm? Have you got to read the word rhythm? Because if you don't, listen to me, the devil is going to steal that time from you. And all hell's going to break loose when you say, I'm going to set a time. The kids are going to scream. The phone's going to zing. The email's going to go off. And you got to say, I'm shutting all that down. Let the babies cry. Let the mice run around the house. I'm getting ready to pray. Come on, everybody. Matthew 7, verse 7. Come on, we doing all right, everybody, this morning? Come on, Matthew 7. Keep on asking. Matthew 7, 7. Keep on asking, it'll be given. You keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. For everyone, come on, say everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Everyone, nobody excluded. Everyone, young, old, everyone. Now, I read something, and we've said this before, but maybe not in these exact words. I think it's interesting. It says that the person said this, a repetition of earnestness is to be distinguished from vain repetition. Because Jesus said, ask, keep on asking, but just don't keep saying the same thing. Has anybody ever had that during prayer? You kind of thought, I've been saying the same thing for the last 3 days. But repetition of earnestness is coming from my heart is to be distinguished from just vain repetition. So Jesus is saying, persist in coming, persist in believing, persist in expecting. Jesus even told a parable in Luke 18:1. We haven't gotten the screen for you, but you know it. It's about that woman that came to the unjust judge and says, man, deliver me, deliver me. Remember that? The scripture says this, that Jesus taught a parable that men ought always to pray and faint not. Different translations, faint not. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back off. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't get tired. Keep praying. Keep praying. She came to the unjust judge day after day after day after day after day. You're not wearing God down. God's trying to see your watching and your resilience. Someone said this, don't worry that you pray poorly, worry that you don't pray at all. Amen. Matthew 25, Carlos, help me, will you? Matthew 25, let's read 13 verses kind of as we start winding down. The story of the 10 virgins, remember it? Jesus told the parable, remember it? The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them are wise, 5 of them are foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil in them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And they answered, and they said, no, lest there should not be enough for us. You go and gather those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13, watch, therefore. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This is an amazing parable. The five foolish virgins ask the five wise virgins for their oil. Listen, in this teaching, oil is not the Holy Spirit, because you can't give the Holy Spirit to anybody. In several scriptures, oil, anointing type of Holy Spirit, it is not here. Look on the screen. Oil is the byproduct of an ongoing, prayerful relationship with Jesus. Oil. You can't get oil. You can't buy oil. You can't have somebody else pray for you. I've got some friends and I've seen some stuff. We're going to have an oil meeting. We're going to, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. I don't care what kind of IG post you have. I don't care how many cameras you got, how many lights and how much fog you got. Ain't no oil. You can't get oil, buy oil, or have someone pray for you for oil or lay hands on you for an oil anointing. Listen, you get oil by watching. You get oil by waiting. You get oil by praying. And you get oil by being alone with God. Are you full of God's oil? Are you full of the Word of God? Are you full of the Spirit of God? Are you full of God's plan? Full of God's love? Full of God's joy? Full of God's peace? Is it working in you? Or are you looking for somebody else to give you something that's working in their life that you're not willing to pay the price for? They got oil. They got presence. They got God's Word. They got a life. They got joy. Because they're paying the price in the private place day after day, month after month, and year after year. You can't get anybody else's oil. It's not going to happen. Now, here's what God will do. Let me tell you what He will do. If you're young spiritually, you're just coming in a relationship with God, God's going to front you some oil. Yes, He is, because He's good. He's going to front you some oil, so that you'll hunger and thirst for that more and more. Sad to say, in our generation, we're living in a generation of manufactured oil. Fleshly, soulish, natural ability, happy, bubbly, charismatic, quote some scripture. Got a YouTube following, you ain't got no oil. Be careful who you listen to. You come up at the end of your life realizing you were barking up the wrong tree, and you put your ladder on the wrong house and wind up to the top and go, there ain't nothing here. Listen to me. There is a price for oil. In the Old Testament, the olive oil was found at the press. At the press. Olive oil is made and found through crushing. This is where we die daily, like Paul said. This is where we take up our cross and we deny ourselves and we follow Him. This is where the psalmist said, You said to me in Psalm 27, seek your face, and my heart said, Lord, your face I will seek. I don't want your hand. I don't want your blessing. I want your face. Fullness with you, joy with you. It's price. The price is daily surrendering your life in prayer, word, and alone with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Different translations, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Pray constantly. Pray regularly. Pray all the time. This is God's will. This is God's plan. This is how you're going to build a life that endures and lasts. This is how you're going to be able to be in the annals of history and the heroes and heroines of faith that make it to the finish line with joy in the will of God. So Peter says this in 1 Peter 4, since we're approaching the end of all things, be intentional, be purposeful, be self-controlled, so that you'll be given to prayer. Notice the words in front of that. If you're not self-controlled, you won't be a person given to prayer. If you're not purposeful, set a time, set a place, you won't be given to prayer. If you're not intentional, you won't be given to it. Listen, this is where the body of Christ is in our relationship with Him right now. Someone said this, that the clock determines the play. If you sports guys know that, generally kind of a football team, football analogy, that if you're watching a team, Super Bowl was a couple, last week I guess it was, and so you know they have a thing called the two-minute drill, if some of you football guys, and so at the two-minute drill, you've got 2 minutes to the half or 2 minutes to the end of the game. They're hurry-up offense. They're coming up onto the line of scrimmage, and so they can call another play, and the clock, there's only a certain amount of time left, the clock determines the play. This is where we're at in the body of Christ. The clock, the end of all things, is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. If it's not at hand, the end of your life is coming quicker than it was yesterday. So pray, seek God, wait, watch, listen, act, be devoted. Go all in with God. And let's see what your and my life turns out to be in the next year, this year, 2025. Let's see what our life turns out to be in the next 5 years. Let's see what kind of people and the fruit is developed from our life because we decided to get up early. Seek God, say no to the flesh, say no to temptation, and watch and pray, because we've heard what the Master is saying, that we can be the kind of people that get alone with Him, and He's pouring something into us. I want to be alone with you on the mountain of transfiguration. I want to be that guy that gets called up and I see you in a new way. I want to be that person. Come on, everybody. Come on, stand up all over the room. Come on, all over the room. I'm just asking you to take another step of obedience today. To take another step of just dedication today. So come on, all over the room. Let's just lift our hands all over the room. Say, God, that's me. Come on, God, that's me. I'm taking another step today. I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait. I'm going to seek. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn. I'm going to desire you. I'm going all in with you in a new way, Lord God. This year, this time, this hour. I consecrate myself. Come on, right there. Your hands in front of you. I consecrate myself. I dedicate myself. I separate myself. Come on, if you're in the middle of some things right now, come on, separate yourself right now. You don't know the trap that the enemy has laid for you like Delilah there. Come on, get out of that right now. Come on, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shake yourself free. The call of God's too valuable. Take that Nazarite vow. Take that Nazarite vow. My hair, I'm not going to cut my hair. My strength's going to be in you. My trust is going to be in you again today, like we sang. I'm not going to drink wine. I'm going to stay away from worldly pleasures and things that can be good for everybody else. It's not good for me. I'm not going to touch anything dead. I'm going to get away from dead things, carnal things, worldly things, things that are worthless. Oh God, I'm separating myself and saying yes to you again today. I'll be a person who waits, be a person who watches, be a person who listens and learns. I set myself to seek your face. I set myself to be a God follower, to be a God follower, to hear you. I'm going to ask and keep on asking. I'm going to seek and keep on seeking. I'm going to knock and keep on knocking. I'm going to show up day in and day out. I want to know you. Paul said, the power of your resurrection. I want to know you more and more. Father, would you pour out your Spirit on us as a church in a new way? Come on, every hungry heart, lift your hands. Would you do that? Every one of us. Moms, dads, for our families, single parents, oh God, for our kids, our youth, our kids. Young adults, oh God, we're hungry for you. Government can't save us. Policies of man can't save us. They're futile. But we serve a God who saves. We serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who hears. We serve a God who knows. So Lord God, today again, we just recommit our lives to you. Keep creating in us a clean heart. Keep renewing us in the right spirit, oh God. Work in us what you want to work in us. Work out of us, Father, what needs to be out of us, we pray today. Pour out your Spirit on us in a new way. Come on, let that be your cry. Pour out your Spirit, oh God, fill me. Come on, let him hear you, fill me. Fill me again with your Spirit. Come on, be filled. And filled again with the very Spirit of God. Come on, the very life of God, the very Word of God, the plan of God, the desire of God, the call of God. Come on, the purpose of God for your life. You're gonna find it. You're gonna find it in the still place. You're gonna find it in the quiet place. You're gonna find it in the secret place. You're gonna find it in the place of prayer. The steps he has for you, the assignment he has for you, you're gonna find it. You're gonna find the oil in the pressing. You're gonna find the oil. You're gonna find the oil that's gonna fill you. Fill you in the pressing, things pressed out of your life, in the crushing. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan, but your plan be done. Not my purpose, but your purpose be done. Father, that's our prayer today. That's our desire today. Fully devoted to you. Come on, in Jesus' name, while God's people said amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our prayer partners are going to be up here again today. If you don't know Jesus, you're away from Jesus. Again, I feel redundant saying it every week, but it's so amazing that you can actually have gotten up this morning and you could be what the scripture says. You're a good person. Don't misunderstand me. You're a good person. But you could be in the kingdom of darkness, just going through life like everybody else. No life for God in you. No relationship with Jesus. And yet, you come to a service like this, 11:31. I can make a decision to give my life to Jesus right now this morning, and the trajectory of my life completely changes. I go from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, a kingdom away from him, a kingdom connected to him, a kingdom where he's not my father, now a kingdom where he is my father, a kingdom where I'm hopeless and hurt, going through hurt, a kingdom where there's healing and peace in my life now. Amen, everybody. So if we can pray for you, our prayer partners are going to be here. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're away from him, allow us the great privilege of praying for you, praying with you. Come on, we're going to have a great week. Come on, I believe with all my heart. We're going to have a great week. Come on, you're going to have a great week. Come on, hang out with us on Monday at 6 o'clock. Pray from 6 to 7. We're joined together. We'd love for you to be a part of that. We're praying, seeking God. Come on, fasting Mondays. Come on, anybody down with fasting Mondays? Come on, fasting Mondays. We fast every Monday and seek God. We're having a time. We love you. God bless you. Like we say on Sundays, don't forget your kids. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.